All right, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Matt, or Matt That's Who, back at it again with another episode of Discussion Avenue. And it's been a minute since I did another one of these episodes. And, you know, I had to bring this guy back on. We had a very good discussion. We were talking about Donda. And, of course, it's Destin back again. And we're here. We're going to talk about our top 10 favorite albums of 2021. How are you doing, Destin?
Doing good, man. Just coming off a good Cowboys victory. Divisional win, really taking control of the division, so we're feeling great.
That always makes you feel better. My Saints won for the first time since I saw them on Halloween, so it's been rough.
Yeah, it's been a rough one.
We've been getting our asses handed to us, but that's neither here
nor
there.
There's things to be happy about, though.
Oh yeah, for sure. There's stuff to be happy about. Lots of stuff going on. Spider-Man coming out in a week. All these albums coming out. We got a lot of albums to talk about, video games.
Ton of movies coming out. You got Oscar season coming up. All the good movies about to start coming out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's a good time. But anyways, we're here to talk music. I really enjoyed the whole Donda album review. And I went back and listened to it, and it was a good episode for sure. So I appreciated having you on, and appreciate
for sure
having you on again.
Anytime.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. And spoiler alert, Donda is not on my top 10 list.
It made my honorable mentions, I must say. It really did.
Yeah, it'll be on my honorable mentions. So without further ado, let's just jump right into those honorable mentions. And I don't have a whole bunch of them. I'm just going to kind of list off of I'll list off one and you list off one. We can do that. And
I mean, we already gave away Donda, so we can just go ahead with that. Not much to say. We already have full reviews up, so.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a great album in there somewhere. That kind of sums it up.
For sure. Exactly. Highlights are really good. The low points are pretty low.
Yeah, exactly. Here's one honorable mention I will include. This is the only country music artist I listen to on the regular, Kacey Musgraves. I know if you go out and ask a random person in Arkansas if Kacey Musgraves makes country music, they'll probably say no. I listen to Morgan Wallen, and that's it. no shots fired. I don't listen to the guy's music or anything. But
it sucks. All my friends listen to it. I'll fire the shots on that one.
I don't think I've ever even heard a song by him that I can think of.
You just keep it that way.
But yeah, I mean, Kacey Musgraves, she makes good music. This isn't Golden Hour quite level. There's some good songs on here. I really like Justified. I like Breadwinner. She has some nice songs for sure. But the theme of it is she just got out of a divorce, and I just got married. So, of course, I'm not really going to vibe with the album, but she makes good music. So that's my first honorable mention.
Hell yeah. The first one I want to go. So this is an album that could have made my list if I'd given it a lot more listens. I just haven't listened to it enough. But from what I did hear, it's fantastic. And it would probably be on my list had I just listened to it more. Just didn't listen to it as much as I did these other albums. But it's Lingua Ignota's Sinner Get Ready. It's kind of just like a really like crushing. I wouldn't even really know how to begin to describe it. But it's a very crushing. It can be abrasive at points. It's got like gospel inspiration. It's a really great album. It can be a bit much, but it was definitely really good and I enjoyed it. I just need to give it more attention. But I wish I would have listened to it more. Like I said, think it could have made the list, but I didn't listen to it enough to put it quite in my top 10. But it's still great. Would definitely recommend it.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, that's one reason I'm excited to have Destin on here. It's going to be a whole bunch of albums I've never heard of, so I get put on.
Hey,
to
I'm sure
stuff.
You'll get. I haven't listened to the Kacey Musgraves album, so.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm sure we'll have plenty to listen to after.
That's true for sure. Another honorable mention, and I'm sure this person's going to do very well at the Grammys because she's been all over the radio. I really did like her album. It's kind of like a 7 out of 10-ish kind of feel for me, but it's Sour by Olivia Rodrigo.
It's a great choice.
Yeah, it's a really good pop album. Driver's License is a good song, and she's been all over the radio, all over with a whole bunch of hits, all over TikTok, of course. And
yeah,
she's made a name for herself for sure, and deservedly so, I would say. I mean, it's not all the time where someone takes over the radio and I just enjoy the music, and so I got to give her credit for that.
For sure. I thought Sarah was a great album. Tons of great songs on there. Has a very, you know, nostalgic vibe for people who, you know, grew up in the 2000s. Paramore, like Evanescence vibe, mm-hmm. even sometimes on that album. But like, you know, she revisited a sound that hadn't really been revisited in a long time, and I thought she did a great job. I thought it was a really good album, too. For my next honorable mention, I'm going to go with Van Gogh's Left Ear by The Loopers. The Loopers is a rapper out of Detroit. He's a member of the Bruiser Brigade, which is like Danny Brown's, I guess, rap posse group. He's, you know, this album, the first half of it is stellar. The second half gets really weak. Some of the songs begin to sort of sound like just like Young Thug copies in a way, but the first half of it is like really good. He's a fantastic rapper. I wouldn't like put him, his lyrics are really good, but it's nothing like Kendrick Lamar or anything like that. He's more of just like a guy with like really good flows, cuts through a beat, raps over some experimental beats on here. I'd say the highlights of on this album are Battery and Van Gogh's Left Ear, the title track. And there's a song with Danny Brown on there that's really good too, but definitely worth checking out. Probably like he said with that one, I'd probably give it like a 7 to 10. It was really good.
Nice. My next one, it's very short, so it's a very easy listen, and I really like stuff that's easy listen. Like, it's 8 songs, 22 minutes. It's by this rap collective. They give off some Brockhampton vibes. Their name's Parrish, Texas, with the album Boy Anonymous. Like I said, very much Brockhampton vibes. They have these kind of a little bit of rock kind of feel to their rap. But yeah, some really good songs. Very, very short, very easy to listen to, and that's always something I really enjoy. And when Brockhampton came into the scene, it's always cool to have different styles of rap blended together, because would you want to listen to a whole Merlin album by himself? Probably not. So whenever you get something different from each person and you have a different person saying each verse on every song, it's very cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My last honorable mention, I'm going to go with the Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak album, An Evening with Silk Sonic. The singles from this album like really blew me away, and the whole album I thought was great. I'd probably give it like an 8 to 10. Thought it was solid front to back. Easily probably my favorite thing I've ever heard Bruno Mars done, maybe for Anderson .Paak. I thought it was just a solid album. They really went back to some great classic 70s sounds, a lot of Curtis Mayfield, Marvin Gaye influence, if you like that kind of music. I really liked Leave the Door Open. Obviously, the track 7 was really good. There are definitely some highlights on here. The one with Smokey Robinson was really good, too. I thought this was a great album.
And since that was your last one, I'm just going to name my other three real quick. The first one is IDK, You See For Yourself. It's a good basic hip-hop album with some good features. Not much else to say about it besides that. I also enjoyed Baby Keem's The Melodic Blue. I liked his first album better. There's more songs on that first album that kind of stuck with me, but this is still a good album, and definitely more people got introduced by Baby Keem. And then the last one is The Book by Yasubi. This is a Japanese pop album, which I've listened to a lot of Japanese music because I'm just obsessed with anime. But this person, or this group rather, they have some really, really good songs. They did the opening for Beastars Season 2, which is on Netflix. And they had a lot of songs that just like got popular. I'd hear them randomly on TikTok sometimes, and they even did like an English version of this album, The Book Part 1. So that was really cool to see. And that's the end of my honorable mention. So now we can jump into the actual list. Destin, you're the guest, so I'll let you go first for number 10.
So for my number 10, I went with the debut album of a post-punk band from the UK. It's called For the First Time, and the band's name is Black Country New Road. This album really surprised me this year. I'd heard about this band because they're closely related to one of my favorite bands, which you'll hear about on this list. But yeah, I mean, it just turned out to be a really good like post-rock, you know, post-punk album. There's stuff on here that the influences of it reminds me a lot of like Slint, if anybody's ever heard of that band. But some of the highlights on here, I really love the intro track Instrumental, Athens, France, track X. Those are probably my three favorite tracks on the album, and some of the songs can be a little long, but I thought it was just a great album that really surprised me this year. And if you're into trying to think of like something more popular I could compare it to, but it's kind of hard just because closest thing I could go find would be like Slint, or just like maybe some like 90s rock music, but also has like a lot of jazz in it. It's a pretty unique album. It was really good, and I was happily surprised. A lot of people love this album. You're gonna see, like, I bet you'll see it on a lot of lists. I'm not as high on it as like most people, but I still thought it was really good.
Awesome, awesome. And speaking of surprises, this number 10 album for me, it was a surprise to me because I didn't think I was going to have this guy in my top 10 list at the end of the year. But hey, it's Montero by Lil Nas X, a very good pop album, pop rap style album. I really enjoyed it. And like I said, I didn't think I was going to enjoy it as much as I did. And the marketing that he had going into this album, everyone was talking about it. I'd have people randomly hit me up, be like, why is Lil Nas X like pregnant and saying he's going to birth his album and all that? I mean, the guy gets people talking about him, and that's a formula that can work. But I mean, he definitely found his kind of lane of music. Of course, the singles Montero and Industry Baby are really good. I enjoyed both of those. Dead Right Now is good. I kind of like Sun Goes Down myself. Just front to back, I enjoy most of these songs, and I don't really find too much wrong with some of them. Of course, some have their own flaws. I don't really listen to Scoop that much featuring Doja Cat. My wife might attack me for that one because she's a Doja Cat stan. But yeah, it's a very fun album. Did you have any thoughts on this, Destin? I know you said something.
Yeah, I thought it was I thought it was a good album. Like Lil Nas X is a good artist for sure, and I completely agree with everything you said about him as a he's a marketing genius. I'm just gonna be straight up, like, that dude knows how to get people talking. He knows how to just market himself as an artist, and thought it was a really good album. The guy is just. Has a knack for making really catchy pop songs that just work.
For sure, for sure. And what you got on number 9?
For my number 9, I'm going to go with Roadrunner by Brockhampton. Brockhampton, if you don't know who they are by now, rap group, a bunch of guys who met on Kanye Tutha. That's where me and Matt Beast used to talk about music a lot on the internet. yeah, that's where those guys met. And they're about our age, similar to me and Matt's age. They're just a great group. This is a great album. Not my favorite album by them, but I think it's their best one since Saturation. I really loved the single with Danny Brown, Buzzcut. That was one of my most played songs of the year. I loved Chain On with JPEG, Bankroll, The Light, Don't Shoot Up the Party. A lot of great songs on this album. I thought it was a great rap album with a lot of energy, and it was refreshing to hear them bring that energy again that they hadn't really brought since Saturation.
Yes, I'll have more to say on that later, actually. Spoiler alert.
Nice. great album. I figured it'd be on yours, too, just because it's such a great rap album.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Number 9 is one of your honorable mentions. It's An Evening with Silk Sonic by Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak, a.k.a. Silk Sonic. Pretty much just mirroring what you said and kind of what I said. It's a short album. Pop kind of feel, R&B soul, kind of old-style songs. These two did really well together. It was a very good combination. I feel like Anderson .Paak always does so well whenever he's like with another artist. And fortunately against me, I don't really listen to a lot of Anderson .Paak by himself, which might be a slight to me because I've heard good things about his albums. And I think I listened to the first one, Malibu, but I just never really went back and revisited it a lot. But this album here, I mean, good stuff. Smoking Out the Windows is a fantastic song. 777 is really good. It's already on Apple Music ad, so you're going to see it play everywhere. Of course, the single Leave the Door Open was good. I don't think this album's in any Grammy consideration because it came out kind of late. I know Leave the Door Open is. Since it
should be next year.
Yeah, it'll definitely kind of be all over. And I feel like
it's one of those albums that should win a bunch of Grammys, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I feel like if they have a performance at the Grammys, I don't know how many people watch the Grammys anymore.
Right. It's just kind of turned into such a joke at this point.
Yeah, because
once Macklemore beat Good Kid, Mad City, it was like, none of this matters.
Yeah, I was going to mention the John Legend effect. When John Legend came on there, the song escapes me at the moment. You might remember it off the top of your head, Destin, but he came on there and performed that song he came out with. I'm going to have to go look.
Was it All of Me? He did that one?
I think it is that one.
Yeah.
He performed that one, and, like, it just blew up just because it was so good because no one ever listened to it because it got that exposure on TV.
Yeah, and absolutely.
That's kind of what this was. And, of course, these two have exposure. They don't really need that kind of John Legend kind of boost, but I feel like more people would hop on it if people actually watched the Grammys, but that's probably...
For sure. When you hear this album, you feel like it's one that should just be played everywhere, especially with a guy like Bruno Mars, who's just a hit machine. Like, say what you want about his music, the guy makes hits. I like this album a lot. Yeah. I think it should be played a lot more and get a lot more recognition.
Yeah, that's undeniable. And, I mean, it sticks to that formula. Like I said, these short albums are just so sweet and so perfect and easy to digest. Because I remember when we were talking about the Donda album, one of your first thoughts was, wow, this thing is long. And that can be a problem with me for some albums, because if I'm sitting there listening to an album front to back, after a while I'm just like, dang, I kind of want to listen to something else, but I kind of want to finish this album at the same time. But...
absolutely.
When you have something so concise, it's perfect.
Yes,
so,
couldn't agree more.
That's my number 9. What's your number 8?
My number 8 is Daddy's Home by Saint Vincent. This is a good like psychedelic rock album. If you like 70s psychedelic rock, I'd highly, highly recommend this. It really goes back to a lot of the roots on here. It's got some real heavy like Fleetwood Mac vibes is where I would pace it, but it's modern. It's really built on it. It's really good. Some real bangers on here too. The song Down, the song Pay Your Way in Pain. I mean, there's some really great tracks on here. It's an album that I probably even need to listen to it myself more. I feel like I might even like it more if I listen to it more, but I still loved it. Would recommend anybody listen to it, especially if you're a fan of like some 70s psychedelic rock music or just classic rock music in general. I think you could find liking this album easy. And it's not too long. It's like a 43-minute album. So, and the highlights are like really good. So I really feel like it's one of those albums that are pretty accessible too. There's nothing that's going to put you off about it. But yeah, my number 8, Daddy's Home by Saint Vincent.
Yeah, Saint Vincent is definitely someone I've slept on, and like I've seen them mentioned in multiple different lists before, and I just never got around to checking them out. I don't know what it is, but I'll
you would like it. I think you'd like it.
Yeah, probably so.
The new album would be what I would say to listen to. It's probably my favorite thing from her.
Okay, cool. I'll definitely give that a listen. And speaking of Destin and his recommendations, number 8 is definitely one that Destin kind of turned me on to. This one is The Turning Wheel by Spelling at number 8.
Fuck yeah.
Dude, her singing is like amazing. I could see her being in like a Disney movie, just the way with how she delivers. It's crazy.
Absolutely.
From the beginning, the first song, Little Deer, it just always gets stuck in my head, and I just find myself saying Little Deer just all the time. It's just funny to me. Boys at School, of course, is an amazing song that just kind of builds upon itself and becomes this like epic of a song. And I mean, you could really explain that whole album that way. It's just like an epic. I could honestly see this being kind of like in a play in some ways. That's kind of the vibe I get from it sometimes, but it's just so good, man. I don't listen. It's kind of like the same thing as you said. I don't listen to it as much, but I think it's something that you should definitely listen to front to back, because it's an experience for sure.
Absolutely. I agree with everything you said, and I'll have a lot to say about that album later.
Spoiler alert. But yeah, let's get right on with your next one.
So my number 7 is Promises by Floating Points, Pharoah Sanders, and the London Symphony Orchestra. Floating Points is an electronic producer. Pharoah Sanders, jazz artist, historic. If you're a jazz fan, I really honestly have no right to even begin to talk about what the stuff that guy's done. But he's actually from Little Rock, too, so shout out for that. But I think this album's in 8 movements, if I'm not mistaken. But this album is really interesting to me. It's not something that you're going to throw on in the car with your friends. It's not something you're going to blare by any, it's 9 movements, blare by any means. But it's basically one song in 9 movements, and the album is separated by the movements. So like track 1, movement 1, etc. Same thing for like movement 2. But like this album is just so encapsulating. It's very hard to describe. There's a major classical influence on it, but with also like a lot of jazz and electronic, but like laid back electronic music. This album is really something to behold. It's just one of those albums that it's hard to really find a time to listen to it, because like I said, it's 9 movements, one song, and like to listen to the album, it's fully really to really experience the album, you got to listen to the whole thing. But it's 46 minutes long. But if you're ever in your room with your eyes closed and feeling pretty good, if you know what I'm saying, this album is definitely fantastic. I really enjoyed it. Like I said, great jazz, classical influence. Really enjoyed it front to back. There's really not enough good things I could say about this album.
That's awesome. Shout out to the fact that one of them's from Little Rock. That's amazing.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I'd love to see Arkansas out there putting on.
For sure.
Anyways, my number 7 is your number 9. As I said, I'll talk about this later. Brockhampton, Roadrunner, New Light, New Machine. This is actually the first physical album I bought in a while because I bought like a pack that came with a t-shirt because I never had a Brockhampton t-shirt. But yeah, shout out for that. Anyways, fantastic rap album as you're talking about. I feel like they definitely had, especially towards the beginning of the album, they had more features than they normally do on some of their albums. And I definitely agree with this being their best album since the Saturation series. The Danny Brown cut's amazing. JPEG Mafia is amazing. Count on Me, I really enjoy that song. The Light, I'll Take You On with Charlie Wilson. That song is really, really fun too. And then Jeremiah. There's just really good songs on here, man. And since Saturation, I've kind of slept on Brockhampton, and this album kind of got me back into them. So I was definitely happy to see that.
Yeah, completely agree. Just a great album front to back. And, like, you know, I liked Ginger and Iridescence. I thought they were still really good albums. They were just a lot more laid back. And one of the things, I don't know about you, but I really liked about Saturation was just the raw energy they brought on those songs. And I feel like they really kind of went back to that on this album, and it just worked.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Now with your next one.
So number 6, I'm going to go with the Tyler, the Creator album, Call Me If You Get Lost. I fucking love Tyler, the Creator. I love this album. I thought it was great. It's laid out sort of like an old Dat Piff mixtape with DJ Drama all over it, you know. After his last album too, Igor, which is definitely probably better than this album in a lot of ways. I might even like Flower Boy 2 more, but I really, really, really love those albums. But just this album is just, you know, banger after banger. He's rapping his ass off. The production's fantastic. My favorite songs on here are Corso. My God, I love that song. He raps his ass off. Lemonhead, great song. What's Your Name? Great. Lumberjack, I mean, this album, Massa, great song. My favorite song on the album, though, is probably Sweet / Thought You Wanted to Dance. I think that's one of his best songs he's made. Just Tyler, the Creator, just one of those guys who it's been so incredible to watch grow over the years and even grow with him. Like, as he's gotten older and turned into this artist, I've been listening to him since I was a kid. And it's just been great to see him turn into a really complete artist who is just at the top of his game, if I'm going to be honest. But yeah, Call Me If You Get Lost, number 6.
Yeah, dude, this 3-album run he's been on has just been fantastic.
Killer. He's on it.
He's freaking killing it right now. I can't wait to see what he's going to do next. For my number 6 album, I'm going to go with a guy who hasn't released an album in quite a while. So it's good to see him come back. This is Isaiah Rashad, The House Is Burning. With Isaiah Rashad, the funny thing is, whenever his albums come out, like, I listen to him once, and then I don't listen to him for a while, and then I go back to him, and I'm just like, damn, this is good.
Yeah.
It was definitely that way with Sylvia Demo when I first heard him come out. I was like, oh, this guy's from TDE now. Let me check him out. And I kind of listened to it. I was like, yeah, that's kind of cool. And then I kind of went back to it, and I'm like, wow, this stuff is so infectious. And it's the same way with all of his music, I swear. Like, I'll go back and listen to it, and I'm just like, wow, all these songs are so good. And so that's something that's kind of got on my list later because I've been kind of going back to it. And I think it's going to climb, maybe even possibly. I don't know. I really like the top 5 I have. But just really good songs from front to back. From the Garden, R.I.P. Young, Lay With Ya, good stuff. Headshots for the Locals, the single track on there. Really good stuff. I just enjoy Isaiah Rashad. He's one of my more favorite rap artists. And I can't wait to get back to even listening to it more. And part of the reason why I put it here is because it's anticipation of this album is probably going to be around this area once it's all said and done. But I love Isaiah Rashad.
I agree with a lot of things you said. I thought it was a really good album. Unfortunately, it didn't make my list, but I still love Isaiah Rashad, and shout out to you for putting me on him back God knows when. Like, like a long time ago, you put me on Isaiah Rashad, so sent me Sylvia demo. I don't even know how long ago that could have been at this point, but
I think the album came out in 2014. I remember listening to
it. So probably then.
Yeah, I remember listening to it when it first came out. I was like doing some homework in the library at college, and I just put on the album in the background.
Yeah, he's a great rapper. Just one of those guys who has a knack for being on good beats too.
For sure, for sure. What you got next?
So for my number five, this dude, there were so many good albums this year. Like some years, this could have been my album of the year. And like, I'm sitting here looking at my 3, 4, and 5, and they really could be interchangeable. Maybe even up to 2, but I don't know. But for this one, I'm going to go with Injury Reserve by the time I get to Phoenix. I've always been a fan of Injury Reserve. I really love their first two mixtapes, Flawless and Live at the Dentist's Office. Their debut album, I wasn't as big on. And unfortunately, in between their debut album and this new one, one of the members actually passed away. Stepa Groggs, RIP, great rapper, great artist. But this album, he's on some of it, and they say he worked on some of it. But man, this album is heart-wrenching. It's sad as fuck. It's a socially aware album. It's a commentary album. It's about dealing with shit like losing your friends. It's about everything you could think of just existing in the world we live, this crazy world we live in today. But like, what's crazy about this album to me is like, this album is honestly, in a lot of ways, like an achievement, in my opinion, as far as like experimental hip hop goes. I would say they've broke the most ground anybody has broken in experimental hip hop on this album since Death Grips. Death Grips is like my favorite band of all time. But like, and they're an incredible experimental hip hop group. If you've never listened to them, recommend them to all everybody. They're incredible. They might scare you at first, but once you get past that, they're incredible. But like, this just, like I said, really built on a lot of things that have happened in hip hop over the past 7, 6 years, and I think opened a new lane even of a new sound that people can begin to experiment in hip hop. Like, for if you want to like get a feel for what I'm saying, go listen to the song Superman That, or the song Outside, or SS San Francisco, Knees, By Storm. Like, some of the songs on this album are just actually fucking insane. If I'm allowed to cuss, if I'm not allowed to cuss, I'm sorry. But that they're just insane. And this album, I cannot say enough good things about it. It's like a strong 9, super strong 9 for me. Loved everything about it and would highly recommend it. So yeah, my number 5 is By the Time I Get to Phoenix by Injury Reserve.
Oh yeah, for sure. And you're allowed to just, I try to keep it kind of a little lower.
You're good. Okay, bet.
But you're fine. That's why I got the explicit tag on the podcast, just in case they slip out, because I know I slip some every now and then. Injury Reserve is definitely someone I've kind of a group I've kind of slept on, and I think I listened to this album and it kind of went under the radar for me, and I should definitely go back and listen to it now that I have kind of the backstory to it. That's very interesting.
And like, I would say, like, honestly, if you've kind of slept on them, I would listen to their early projects are a lot more traditional rap albums, you know what I mean? Like, you would love their early hit. You'd love their early albums. Like, no, if you don't already, like, you would love them. Like, this album is not traditional by any stretch of the imagination. Like, they definitely do some weird shit, and I think you'd like it too. But I would definitely recommend listening to some of their other stuff before you listen to this.
Okay, my number 5 album, and just a pretext for a lot of you guys out there, I'm a huge procrastinator, so I've been kind of catching up on some albums towards the end of this month and in November, and this is definitely one album that stuck out to me. This is Jubilee by Japanese Breakfast. Fantastic pop album, kind of an indie pop kind of feel. Just the instrumentation on this album and her voice is just so nice. And she has songs like Posing in Bondage that just kind of have this build up and this anti-climax, and throughout the song the beat's just kind of building up and building up, and I really enjoy when artists do that with some of their songs, and it just creates this, as I said earlier with the Spelling album, it's like an epic song. And just throughout this whole album, it's another short album, which is definitely a thing for me. It's about 37 minutes, 10 tracks. Really good stuff. Really good stuff. I really thoroughly enjoy it. And I wish I had more to say about it. Destin's definitely more the musically inclined person here. where he has definitely a lot more critiques on albums, and I only feel that kind of way when I've listened to an album like a whole bunch, which is not the case for a lot of these, but this is definitely going to be an album I will go back and forth with. Jubilee by Japanese Breakfast, really good stuff. Have you listened to this one, Destin?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm glad you brought that up because it was really good and I forgot about it. So that's something I definitely need to go back and check out because I listened to it like the night it came out. It was like, I'll just fucking browse the internet and look for albums to come out. And I liked her the previous album that they did before this one. The name escapes me, but I was interested and I listened to it and I remember liking it. I just haven't gone back to it. So now that you have it so high on your list, I'll definitely be listening to it more, give it another shot.
Oh yeah, for sure. And now with your number four.
For number four, I gotta go with LP by JPEG Mafia. I fucking love JPEG Mafia. Ever since Veteran, I have loved this guy. He is so awesome. He can rap. He produces everything. His production is so out there, but so grounded in hip-hop. I love everything about it, and I think this is his best album he's made. Like, this is another one of the... This is, like, the Injury Reserve album. This could have been an album of the year in any other year for me. This year was just really stellar when it comes to the top albums, in my opinion. But, like, gosh, man. He is the production on this album. There is nothing I can say that would do it justice. I know we got some former wrestling fans or even current wrestling fans who may be listening to this. You got Arn Anderson sampled on here. Excalibur from AEW sampled on here. So, like, you know, some nice little wrestling background to the album. You've probably seen him on AEW. If you watch AEW, he did, like, a little skit on there a couple times. But love JPEG Mafia. This album's incredible. Favorite tracks. I mean, basically all of them. But my favorite track is definitely Rebound. That song is unreal. One of the hardest diss songs I've ever heard in my life. Hazard Duty Pay is another highlight. The one thing that sucks about this album is to hear the version of it that I'm talking about, the offline version, which I find so good. You have to get it on Bandcamp, as he couldn't get a lot of the samples cleared and couldn't put it on Spotify. He's not trying to get sued. Understandable. But yeah, I mean, I paid for it on Bandcamp. Worth every penny. Love this album. Can't say enough good things about it. It's another one of those albums that's just like more experimental hip-hop. This one's more rooted in traditional hip-hop than I would say the Injury Reserve album is. Not that one's not. This one's just less out there. But like, his past two albums, Veteran and All My Heroes and Cornballs, which I love, are two different in a lot of ways. Veteran's like more abrasive. All My Heroes and Cornballs has more of a pop side to it. But it's like he really like combined what he did those two albums and just like perfected it. And released what, in my opinion, is like a rap classic. So, yeah, number four, LP by JPEG Mafia.
I definitely agree. That's all I'm going to say for now. number four is definitely one that a lot of people are going to be talking about. Little Sims, Sometimes I Might Be Introvert. Great album. Destin's been trying to get me on the Little Sims hype train for a little while now. It didn't quite register with me on Gray Area. I don't know what it was, but this album, of course, it's great. It's so good. Some songs I really enjoy off of it. Point and Kill is such a banger. It's so infectious. I love that song. I love listening to it. The intro track, Introvert, I love just the way it just comes in. I could see it I could see like the instrumental being played on like College Game Day or something. Just bringing it in. Little Q Part 2. So many good songs on here. Standing Ovation. I could just go on and on about some of these songs. Rolling Stone, Protect My Energy. I like pretty much all this album, and it's definitely something I like to listen to front to back. Little Sim, she is a really, really good rapper, and I've been sleeping on her for a very long time, and I'm finally here.
Well, hell yeah, that's great, because I'm going to segue to my number three, which is Sometimes I Might Be Introvert by Little Sims. album, like he said, fantastic front to back. Like if you have any appreciation for just hip-hop, A Tribe Called Quest, Kanye West, Lauryn Hill, Kendrick Lamar, if you appreciate that music, there is no way you could listen to this album and not fucking love it. There, in my opinion, there's just no way. I'm sure Matt would agree. Like, it is just completely rooted in all the things I love about hip-hop. Like, I get College Dropout vibes on this album. I get Late Registration vibes. I get Kendrick Lamar vibes. Like, this is Lauryn Hill. This album is so fucking good. Introvert, Woman. Like, there are songs on this album that I would call fucking perfect. I Love You, I Hate You is probably one of my favorite rap songs I've heard in a really long time. Point and Kill, like you said, like Misunderstood, I could go all day. This album is just front to back incredible. And like, just anybody, if you like rap music, just give this girl your attention, because I really do believe she is one of the best rappers alive, and she proves it on this album, and she's all over it. The production on it, out of this world. Her raps, out of this world. The songwriting, just like, it's everything you would want from a good hip hop album.
Definitely, I couldn't agree more. And like I said, you got me onto it. And funny how it's just back to back on our list.
I know, that's awesome. Works perfect.
My number three album is one you already mentioned, Call Me If You Get Lost by Tyler, the Creator. As I said earlier, Tyler, the Creator, he's just been on this incredible three-album run ever since Flower Boy. Just everything he's done has just been so good. And he kind of returned to his rap roots. He definitely went away from them with Igor, but here he kind of came back to them with the DJ Drama type feel. He pretty much hit up DJ Drama and said, it's time to do this. And they definitely did this. Some of the features on here are amazing. I love Lemonhead. Oh man, that verse by 42 Doug, it's really good. It just gets me hype. It gets me ready to run through a wall or something. What's Your Name, great song. I really love Juggernaut with Lil Uzi and Pharrell. I love, like, Lil Uzi, he's such a fun rapper. He's never going to be like one of the most technical guys, but every time he's on a feature track, he just hits it up. And
I agree with that.
Yeah, there's something about his energy that I just love, and Pharrell brought it too. Another song I'd like to point out is Manifesto. That freaking beat change.
Oh my God.
It just makes me get like this grime face. It's like, oh man, it's just, it's so good. Just everything about this album. And like you said, the double thing with the suite, I Thought You Wanted to Dance is good. I love Rise. I just love this whole album, man. It's so fun, and it gives you that old mixtape type feels. And I didn't really listen to too much DJ Drama type mixtapes. I know Beano did his with Stone Mountain a couple years back, and I was just never that type of that album, but definitely it has its spot in hip-hop culture, and Tyler, the Creator, kind of brought that back. Even though mixtapes are, I mean, some artists
kind of
say,
a thing of the past.
Yeah, like
the real mixtape is over, in my opinion. The real mixtape, the days of like someone just like uploading the fucking set of songs to DatPiff and you go download it, those days are over. Nowadays, everybody puts their quote unquote mixtapes on Spotify, and I don't see the similarities.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just, There's something about going on datpiff.com and clicking download and then dragging it over
absolutely.
To your iTunes library and then syncing
Logic
up your
crashing datpiff. Remember when Logic crashed datpiff?
Yeah,
it was
dude.
Wild.
Like, I remember when Mac Miller first got me to start using datpiff. Good stuff.
Yeah,
so that's my number three. I think we're on your number two now.
Yeah, we're almost done. So my number two, this is one of my, ever since I heard their debut album 2019, this has been one of my most anticipated albums ever in my entire life, straight up. It's Cavalcade by the band Black Midi. They are from London. They are a post-rock, post-punk, progressive rock. I can't even begin to describe what this band is. They are insane. That is the way to describe them. But this album, man, you're hearing stuff that you, in my opinion, that you have, I haven't heard stuff like this since, like, not since, but before I was born, the albums that remind me of this album. This album reminds me of it come out. And there's some of my favorite albums of all time, like King Crimson, if anybody knows what that band is. The album Red and the album In the Court of the Crimson King. Those two albums are two of my favorite albums I've ever heard. And this album reminds me of it. The fact that any album could ever come out that would remind me of that just blows me away. But this album, like I said, these guys bursted on the scene with their album Schlagenheim in 2019, which was just absurd, just completely broke ground. It was just one of those albums that when you heard it, it's like, I've never heard anything like this before, but I feel like I have because this is so right, and it just sounds like what needs to be happening at this point for rock music. And I just think they're one of the most exciting musical acts on the planet. My favorite songs on this, John 50, the intro track, the song is, I don't, like, these songs are absolutely insane. Like, you have to experience them for yourselves. But John 50, intro track, Marlene Dietrich, they slow it down on that one. Kondro, like, the stuff they do, it's slow. Some of my favorite songs I've heard in so long. This whole album, I played it way too much. Probably drove all of my friends insane how much I love this album. But I cannot say enough good things. And to see them revisit a sound and do something with it, something new with it that hasn't been touched in so long, just because the sound's so hard to even mess with. Heck, there's points on this album that you're thinking In a Silent Way by Miles Davis. The next second, they got you thinking Aces High by Iron Maiden. It's fucking crazy. This album's incredible. I really wanted to give my album of the year, but my number one was just that good. But yeah, number two, Cavalcade by Black Midi.
Yeah, that's definitely someone you've been high on. And I just haven't really, I don't know what it is. I just haven't clicked with me. And maybe
they're out there for sure.
Yeah, and definitely it's something where I don't really get too much into the out there kind of music. I kind of like, I guess to describe it, kind of more like clean stuff every now and then.
Yeah.
I kind of like more experimental stuff. But like, for instance, my favorite Death Grips album would probably be The Money Store. And that probably kind of tells you.
For sure. Which is like, no critique or anything like that. But that's their most like clean, traditional album they've made. It's like verse hook, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I love, that's probably my favorite album by them too.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's the only way I can kind of describe that kind of sensation for me.
For sure.
Next up, my number two is another one that kind of burst onto the scene, but I've been playing it so much, like I'd be listening to any one of these albums just about. I'm just like, damn, I want to go back and listen to this album. And this is Mercurial World by Magdalena Bay. It's an indie pop album, more of a synth pop kind of feel on this one, and just give me some good synth pop vibes, man, and I'm there, dude. Some of the transitions they do on this stuff, the transitions from Dawning of the Season to Secret to Your Fire is, oh my god, it's just chef's kiss. It's so good. Secret to Your Fire is just one of probably my favorite songs. I've just been listening to it so many times, and just from front to back, this album, I mean, it's 14. It's about like that sweet spot, 46 minutes, 14 songs. It's not too long, it's not too short. Just so many good songs. Cherry, Hysterical Us. I love the way the lead singer sings. I love the instrumentals provided by Matt. Great name for him, by the way. Just so many good stuff. And I love the transitions in each of the songs. Just really good synth pop. And that's something that just hits me whenever I find a good synth pop album. And that's something I would definitely love people to recommend to me if anyone knows more about it. Because whenever there's a good synth pop album, like whenever Churches has like a good song, and for whatever reason, it's always when the female singer is singing on there. It's never like the male singer, but I don't know what it is. It's just a female vocalist combined with some synth pop that just blends in really well, and it's just so good. Magdalena Bay, Mercurial World, check it out.
Yeah, that's an album. I'm glad you brought that up. That's another album that I've listened to. Listen to that album a decent amount. Need to listen to it more for sure. Fantastic album. Yeah, couldn't agree more with pretty much everything you said. That album was awesome.
Yes, sir.
Definitely need to listen to that more. Thanks for bringing that up. I will. Yeah, like that album kind of wowed me. I need to go back to it. I'm glad you said something. That was a really good album.
Yeah, man. It's something about synth pop that just gets me in. Like,
I love synth pop too, for sure.
Yeah, it's something about that song Secrets. I just keep listening to that one song in particular, even though I could listen to like Cherry and Hysterical Us are also two songs that I really like.
Yeah.
Lose, that comes right after Secrets. There's so many good songs on here, and I'm looking forward to listening to it even more and following this band to see what they do.
For sure. So for my number one, this is one Matt B's had on his list. So I'm going to go with Turning Wheel by Spelling. I just front to back, like, I think this is like one of those albums that I would go as far to call perfect. Give it like an absolute 10 out of 10. I think every song is freaking incredible. Like he said, it's almost like a Disney movie. She sounds like a Disney princess singing all over this thing. I don't even, like, the way this album makes me feel, like he said, the first song is Infectious Little Deer, and man, the themes of this album, absolutely insane. It's just like one of those albums that when like it comes out and you hear it, it's like the fact that no one's ever like approached these topics from this point of view on this album. I mean, no, it would have to be someone her age in 2021 who did it. But like, God, man, I love this album so much. So I'll go over some of my favorite tracks. I'm probably going to list every single one, but like Little Deer, as far as an intro track goes, the song's just incredible. Always, the song title track, Turning Wheel, so good. Infectious, And like I said, the messages of these songs, a lot of it's really about just this world we live in today and all the things that we go through. But like she talks about it from sort of like this perspective of how the way she wants the world to be, and the, you know, or not even the way she wants the world to be, the aspirations she has for the world, like dealing with things like, you know, climate change, division, just, you know, the things that have really torn humanity apart over the past few years. She really looks at it from a way of like, I have these aspirations of like where I'd like to see the world go, but I'm struggling with like not seeing the world go in that way, and but waiting for it to happen and being optimistic that it can eventually happen, but just knowing that it's not there. Album's fucking crazy. Like every single track, like Revolution, Sweet Talk, Boys at School, probably my favorite song on the album. Might be my song of the year. Haven't really thought about that, but whenever I think about my song of the year this year, it's either that one that comes up, Slow by Black Midi, Introvert. Like, there's a lot, but this one really stands out to me just because it's from a perspective that I've never thought of, not being a woman or anything like that, but like, I've just never been able to see anything from that perspective, and it's incredible when someone, an artist, is able to open your eyes in a way. But Spelling, Turning Wheel, Immaculate, an absolute classic in my opinion. I think this is one of those albums that this year, it got a 10 from The Needle Drop, who I guess is the biggest music critic, but like, I feel like it hadn't resonated as much as it should with the masses, and I do think this is one of those albums that over time people will go to appreciate more. But yeah, that's my album of the year, Turning Wheel by Spelling.
Yeah, I definitely would not have heard this unless you like mentioned something about it. I think you posted on like your Spotify story, and I'm just like, what is this? Because whenever you post a song on your Spotify or on your Spotify story, Snapchat story, I'm sorry. Whenever you post something on there, like I go out of my way to listen to it normally, just because I'm like, hey, if Destin's on this, it might be pretty good. And sometimes Destin's taste is a little out there for me, and sometimes it doesn't hit, but sometimes it does. In this case, it did with Turning Wheel, and
my I think it'd be hard not to like this album, you know, and like, it's just, if you have a somewhat open mind listening to music, it's easy to appreciate how well she's singing, how silky smooth the beats are, you know. Like, I think this is one of those albums that not only is it as good as any album I've heard in the past couple years, it's also accessible, which is awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Such an epic album, man.
Absolutely.
Just like I said earlier, just really good stuff. My main knock on it is it's just something I'm probably not going to go back and visit a lot, but whenever I do, I just have a very high appreciation for what she did there.
For sure.
My number one album is LP by JPEG Mafia, actually.
Great pick.
Yes. Like I said earlier, my favorite album being Money Store by Death Grips. I feel like this is his Money Store, which is something that more people could probably kind of vibe with. You could probably argue that with All My Heroes Are Cornballs as well, but I feel like this album is super accessible, and like you said, it kind of blends what he did on Veteran and All My Heroes Are Cornballs and blends it perfectly, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Cutie Pie is like probably one of my favorite rap songs of the year easily. Just this guy's flow, and I think I've told you this, because like there'd be songs like on Veteran where I'm just like, I don't know, man. But like when he's just rapping, this guy has one of the best flows I've ever heard. It's
without a doubt.
It's he's just mastered the craft. It's just so good. And I always like the random wrestling references, as you were mentioning earlier. I need to go out of my way and check out those AEW stuff that he did, because I was unaware that he was on like AEW doing stuff. That's cool.
Oh, I'm not mean to interrupt you, but like he literally had like Darby in the middle of one of his shows, had like Darby Allin come out and like body slam someone on stage.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
I'm surprised Darby Allin didn't come out there and just like stage dive into the crowd and like destroy people.
He might have. I haven't seen all of it, but that sounds like what he would want to do.
That guy is like Jeff Hardy times two. sometimes, but getting off that, from front to back, this album is just so good. From Trust, Dirty, I'm just gonna sit here and listen and list all the songs. Like Rebound is good. They're just all, from front to back, just such a good album, man. JPEG Mafia, he's, in my opinion, at the top of his game right now. And I know this was his last album on the label. I don't know what he has going forward. I'm interested to
see. Yeah, that's a scary thought.
Yeah.
Because he's insane.
I'm interested to see what he's going to do going forward, if he's going to be in the independent route. I'm very interested in this guy. He's just so good, and there's been more and more songs that resonated with me as his time's gone on, since he put me on since Veteran, and he's just gotten to that point where I'm just like, damn, this album was it for me. Like, I'm like, damn, this shit fucking hits. And I've been waiting for it ever since Cutie Pie, Bald, those two tracks came out, and I know those are kind of bonus tracks on here. And he had the offline version too, which I listened to once, kind of like on YouTube, so I'll definitely need to go back and listen to that some more, just to get that other version of Sick, Nervous, and Broke, which I've heard some people say is like so much better. And
oh dude, it's so good. Yeah,
man,
it's really good.
JPEG Mafia, he's just really good. That's all I gotta say, man. This guy is amazing.
Yeah, I want to piggyback off what you're saying. Like, you said this guy has mastered the craft. Like, he truly has mastered the craft of hip-hop music. Like, this guy is just on another level when it comes to, like, I mean, I'd say as far as, like, producing their own tracks and rapping over them right now, it's him and Tyler at the top. But there's something about JPEG Mafia, dude. Like, he's, like that song Rebound, the amount of flows he works into that beat, like, like you said, his flow, he's one of the best flows you've ever heard in your life, and I couldn't agree more. Like, I could talk about that guy all day. Like, he's incredible. God, I love that man.
For sure, for sure. And I think all around, we got some good stuff. I'm going to have to go back and listen to some of these songs that you had listed,
for sure.
Albums that you had listed out.
We had a lot of similar stuff, too, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I expected we would have The Little Sims, The Spelling, JPEG, Tyler.
For sure.
I expected some of them, for sure. And I know you'd have some. I knew Black Midi was going to be up there for you. Just based off kind of how much hype you've been on it. I'm sure whenever you get in the car, you're like, hey, give me the aux cord, I'm putting on Black Midi.
Yeah.
I could see that. Some good stuff all around.
But yeah, thanks for having me on. I really enjoyed it. Always fun to talk about music with you. We've been doing it for a long time now. Heck, we started doing this, like, started talking about albums. I remember when he was the only person I even could find to talk about Yeezus with, or talk about, like, you know, I mean, because I don't know. Like, it's just, like, people, me and him, we just, like, really bonded over Kanye, I guess, more than anything when we were younger. Just because we couldn't find anybody else, I guess, of our friends in real life that loved Kanye that much.
Yeah, because I'll bring up Kanye to, like, one of my friends that likes, quote-unquote, likes music. Shots there. and he just hates Kanye, and I'm just like, damn, dude. We've been at this for a while. I remember the days of talking about Drake's debut album and Blue Slide Park and Recovery by Eminem.
Absolutely.
I remember talking about those three albums a lot back in 2010, I think that was. And I think that's kind of when I first started, like, actually, like, going out of my way to listening to albums. And it's funny because, like, Drake and Eminem are definitely nowhere near my favorite artists anymore now.
Oh, not even close.
Yeah, not even close. Mac Miller's still up there for me, just because I have so much nostalgia hooked to Mac Miller. And the albums he was coming out with towards the end there were really good. But he's still up there for me. But just the way that our music tastes have changed over the years, especially yours for sure, is crazy.
It's just getting older, hearing more shit. I mean, when you're younger, you have, like, those artists that teach you, like, how to love music. I'd say for me, that was, like, Kanye. Like, I liked Eminem. I was a big fan. But I didn't understand, like, the grand scope of what a song could be until I really got into Kanye.
Yeah, exactly. I think Kanye's, like, he's kind of that big boundary that a lot of people kind of cross when they're getting into music. And
absolutely.
He's, like, that one artist that, because you just look at his discography, for the most part, they're all different. Everything's different, and you get different tastes. And, like, when you get an artist like Eminem, no shade towards him, but I feel like he doesn't really do anything different on any of his albums ever.
Yeah.
Really. And Drake's kind of the same, where he kind of borrows influences from other people, which, I mean, the music industry is a lot of that for the most part. But, I mean, Drake, he just kind of puts out a lot of fluff. That's the way I'd kind of describe it. He puts out a good song here and there, and that just kind of shows the way I view music has kind of changed over time. And definitely I've kind of fallen off more. Definitely a couple of years ago I was way more on it, But I'm trying to get back to it. I definitely check out the albums that I hear either Destin talking about or hearing a lot of buzz, maybe from a needle drop or just in Twitter in general, because there's still people I follow that talk about music a lot on Twitter. And sometimes a popular album, like I said, an Olivia Rodrigo or a Lil Nas X comes across, and I'm just like, damn, this is actually a really good popular album. And just stuff like that. I mean, there's definitely way too many hobbies that I'm interested in. And I wish there was just more time in the day where I could
absolutely
disperse
dude.
Them more. But getting older, you're a lot more busier than when you are like in college, when I didn't have a job and I just listened to music and went to class and didn't do anything besides that.
Listen to music in class.
Oh man. Going back to like the Datpiff stuff, I remember a whole bunch of people in my class talking about Detroit by Big Sean whenever that came out.
No, I remember that mixtape. Yeah.
Yeah, people had it on their phones listening to it. I was like, okay, they're on it too. I see what they're doing. But
yeah,
definitely good times. Always good to reminisce about that. But yeah, it was good to have you on, Destin, and talk about your top 10 albums. I'm sure I'm gonna have some stuff to go back and listen to, as I said earlier. But yeah, another good episode with you.
For sure. I enjoyed it. Hopefully we can do it again soon.
For sure, man. And yeah, that'll end us for this. So thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for tuning in.